Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Acts 12 and verse 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison." Talk on this subject today on simply Peter got a light sentence. See, John was dead, killed with a sword. Herod the Jew pleaser seized Peter, and he intended to kill him after the holidays. He was kept in prison, and according to the word of God, the church kept him in prayer. That's one of the first things you have to remember, is that someone was praying when you were in prison, bound by the past, put into a place that you felt like you couldn't get out, trapped by yesterday's mistakes, but somebody stands in the gap for you. Somebody intercedes for your soul. Somebody is praying for you right now. And the Bible said that Peter slept between two soldiers, chained in the cold, guarded by evil, a dirty dungeon floor, dim-lit hallways, lightless souls wandering about, shadowy figures leaning here and there. Think about it. The church was praying, interceding. Peter was out, and he was sleeping like the dead. While the intercessors were warring, Peter was snoring. Some were restless, but Peter rested. Now think about it. He had been arrested, then he rested. Not bad when you have faith in God, because our troubles are not the troubles that can bring God to his knees. They bring us to our knees, but in this particular case, sometimes we just rest and we let God take care of the rest. We rest and we let God step into the situation and do what he's going to do, because we know that he's in control of the circumstances. This is a formidable kind of trust, because it's the kind of trust that breaks down the barriers of unbelief. It's the kind of trust that goes beyond the fears and the human condition and the things that look bleak. And we feel like, from the perspective of the outside world, we look foolish to trust in God, because here we are in a binding situation. Here we are wearing the chains of a circumstance. And you might say, as you look at this situation, how can he sleep like that in a prison? Cramped quarters, surroundings are terrible, his body aches, his eyes are heavy, his freedom is gone, he could barely move. Surrounded by muddy walls, a stench of sweat and urine permeating every inch of the atmosphere, grouchy guards, unfavorable future, uncertain hours ahead. And James, his good friend of many years, has already been eliminated, martyred for the kingdom. But Peter is sleeping in the cell. Why? Simple. He was tired. Sometimes you don't need a reason. You're just looking for a place to lie down. There's no other explanation for the yawn. There's no other explanation for the sleepy eyes. There's no other explanation for the tired look. There's no other explanation for the countenance of exhaustion. You are just flat out tired. You might be in a trial. You might be carrying a burden. You might be carrying the biggest load, an emotional thing that you've ever carried in your life. But at some point, you just have to sleep. And I think that's where Peter was. I think that he was just so tired that, just like many of us, we say, "Man, I'm so tired, I could lay down in the middle of that street and sleep right now in the middle of rush hour." Well, that was Peter. Now, it mentioned that he was given over to a quaternion of soldiers, or four quaternions of soldiers. This means that four different soldiers watched that prisoner every 6 hours, making a team of 16 soldiers over a 24-hour period. Two would be chained to the prisoner, and two would stand outside the prison door. That's 16 guards, but one God. My friend, I know that some of you listening to this right now may feel outnumbered by the guards of hell. They want to lock you up in shame, keep you a prisoner of the past, make you live out your last days in a dungeon of depression. But in your case, it ain't how many guards are on location, it's how many gods. And in your case, you only need one, because that one God is a deliverer. His name is Jesus, and the hope that he brings is an everlasting hope. It's not just a temporary escape. It's not just a momentary pardon. It's not just trying to get out of something, but hey, we're going somewhere. Romans 8:1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now think about this. This word no here is the Greek word oudisi. And it means not even one. Now, I think that's encouraging, because sometimes we have to hear that when the word says no, that's exactly what it means. Not even one. Zilch. Nada. Not even a little bit. Absolutely 100% nothing. So there is no condemnation, not even one, to them which are in Christ Jesus. When you pursue the ways of God, when you follow after the faith steps that he's left behind, when you make up your mind that you're going to continue in the quest for the everlasting things of God, discovering his truths every day, continuing on this journey, mile after mile and trial after trial, because you know that you're more than just an exile of this world. You are a child of a kingdom, and if you follow after the things of God and pursue that journey of the Spirit, you're going to go beyond the carnal things of this age, and you're going to find the truly satisfying spiritual things of another age, of an everlasting world. Isaiah 54:17 said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, when you look at that, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. So that phrase, formed against thee, that's that verb there is a prefixed conjugation in Hebrew. So the prefixed conjugation denotes the imperfective aspect of the verb. That is, it views the action of the verb from the inside or from the perspective of the actions unfolding. This imperfective aspect can speak of, depending on context, habitual actions, actions in progress, or even completed actions that have unfolding, ongoing results. In other words, there's an implication here that this weapon that the enemy is trying to form against you, he's going to try to use it more than once, or he's going to come back with a modification to that weapon, or he's going to come back with something maybe even better, similar to, but better than, the weapon he formed before. But the bottom line is this: no weapon. And it doesn't matter how many times he comes back. If it comes tomorrow or the next week or the next day or the next year, the result is the same. My friend, there is the failure of fear, the missed aim of accusation, the bullets of hell bouncing off the bulletproof vest of your righteousness, if you will, the fiery darts of the enemy quenched and off target. No weapon at any time can make its mark. That is that place of great faith and prayer and deliverance. And this is obviously these utopian moments to come in a perfected state of the millennial reign. But there's also an application now to us to understand that the promises of the Word, when we live in them, when we shelter ourselves in the Word, when we stand on the foundation of the Word, we've endured storms because we have stood upon the Word, that rocky foundation, that immovable prophetic hope, the blessed hope and our assurance, not just that we have believed in the first coming of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection and the gospel of everlasting life, but also of his second coming. Jesus is coming again, and that's the blessed hope. That's the assurance of the believer, of the church, of the living God. And because of that, the ultimate effect and influence and desire of destruction by the weapons of hell has no influence over our everlasting life. That's why Jesus said, don't fear the one that can kill the body, but the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So, in a spiritual sense, even though there could be physical harm done to us, the weaponry of darkness can do nothing to the delivered state of the soul. No matter how many times that accusation comes back, no matter how many times that condemnation tries to come up on your doorstep and break and enter and come in with some kind of thieving hope to steal from your joy, it can't happen when you stand on the Word. It's absolutely impossible when you and I are washed clean and we live in that desire and in that flow and in that river of the Spirit. When we follow after the Holy Ghost, there is no condemnation, and there's no weapon of darkness that can eliminate your hope in Jesus Christ. And so, while Peter was sleeping in that cell, suddenly light burst into the cell. An angel materialized, and no one saw him. He was invisible, but his works would soon be visible. The prison dog kept sniffing for breadcrumbs, and the mice kept searching for cheese, and the prison guards were oblivious to what was happening right under their noses. Their eyes were open, but they didn't see. And the scripture says that when that angel appeared into that prison, that he went over to Peter and he smote him on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And do you know when Peter's chains fell off of him? It's when he got up. It's when he got up that the chains fell off from him. And I think that is a determination of faith. I think that's something that inspires hope for somebody listening today, is that some of the chains holding you down will just fall off when you decide to get up. The problem is, a lot of times we stay down and we feel like there's no way to get up. We feel oppressed, or like the enemy's got his foot on our neck. But the bottom line is, when you have a desire to rise up in the Spirit, when you have a desire for God to help you make a change, when deliverance light begins to shine into your life, there's not any darkness that can stop you. There is no demonic power that can keep you back. When you begin to call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible said, "Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the angel is trying to get him to rise up quickly, not just lay there, not just stay in a state of being in a stupor and being asleep, but there is an awakening that takes place when light begins to shine. And sometimes that light shines and we don't see it at first. It takes an awakening to have a revelation. It takes an awakening to have an understanding of what's going on around us. And even then, as Peter would find out later, he just kind of thinking that he's sleepwalking. But this angel, he gets his attention. Peter begins to rise up. The chains are falling off. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." In other words, get dressed for departure. I think that's got great implications for the coming of the Lord. We need to stay dressed in a robe of righteousness. We need to keep our apparel and our armor of spiritual warfare on, because we need to act like we're dressed for departure, because it can be any moment. In the twinkling of an eye, the coming of the Lord is going to take place, and mortality is going to take on immortality. Now Peter is fully clothed. He's got his sandals on. He's ready to take a walk. And the angel of the Lord says, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And so now he's got an angelic tour guide in this prison. Because see, when the light shines into a prison, it isn't just God trying to reveal to you where you are. You already know where you are. If light is shining in your spiritual prison today, it's because he wants to let you out. It's because he wants to lead you to a better place. It's because there is an opening of the prison to them that are bound. Whatever's binding you in anger, whatever's binding you in resentment, whatever's binding you in bitterness or self-hate, whatever's binding you in self-loathing or all of the things that interfere with the processes of faith and the way that you think about yourself, the Lord may be telling you, hey, I'm trying to give you a light sentence. Because that's what Peter got here. Peter got a light sentence. He wasn't going to stay in that jail for weeks. He wasn't going to be executed by Herod's intention because there was heaven's intervention. When the light shines into your situation, friend, then follow the path of that light. That's a chance for you to escape the behavior of the past, to leave the rebellion chains behind, to leave the stubbornness cell in the distance, to get away from the dungeons of doom and self-destruction and all of the things that, you know, you keep getting yourself in the same trouble. And maybe you've got repetitive actions, and maybe you just live in one cycle of frustration, making one mistake after another, living in constant regret, utilizing all of the things that work against you instead of utilizing the things that would work for you. And so you live in this place of futility. You feel like you're constantly walking around in a place of no trust, suspicious of everybody, wondering what everybody's agenda is. And maybe part of the reason that you feel that way is because you have manipulated people and you have been the one who has perpetrated pride and tried to get somebody to do something the way that you wanted to do it, or you've tried to exact your own will and ignore the will of God. But here comes the light shining in the prison that you got yourself in, and I believe it's a journey of escape, and I believe you just got to get up. Sometimes in order to go on, we first have to get up. You got to get up off of that ground. That's why the Word of God says in Micah 7 and 8, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Don't just sit in the darkness, but realize that there is a relationship you have with God. And because of that relationship with God, there is a revelation of light to shine in any situation. There is hope on the doorstep and deliverance is on its way. And what I want you to see here in Micah 7 and 8 is that he said, when I fall. It wasn't a matter of if it was going to happen, but he already had determined, when I fall, I shall arise. He's making a futuristic determination. He's not talking about, hey, last week when I fell, I finally decided to get up. He's saying, whenever that snare of the enemy gets me, I'm not staying down. I've already made up my mind that I'm going to get up. Micah had getting up in his spirit before he even faced conflict. Now, how do we get that? We get that through consistent prayer. We get that through understanding our love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're not trying to just earn his respect, but because of his grace and the change that the grace of God has brought to our conduct, the development of our character, the improvement of our daily behavior. Because of that, we build up in ourselves this fortitude, this faithfulness, this persistence, this bulldog tenacity, if you will, that says, I won't give up. So when I fall, I shall arise. It's already predetermined. I've already, not just relying on the promises of God, I've promised myself, I'm going to get up. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to get back to church. I'm going to attend one more service. I'm going to sing one more song, and I'm going to trust the Lord one more mile. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So see, a righteous man, a just man, somebody that believes the laws of God, somebody that's doing his best to respect the things of God and live faithful to the Word of God, is going to fall seven times. So this ain't just something that looks like it's going to happen just every now and then or every blue moon. He falls seven times, but he's going to get up. Every time he's going to get up. Every time he's going to learn something. He's going to take that into his lifestyle with him. But the wicked, you see, when they fall, they turn it into mischief, because what happens in human nature? When somebody continues to have a problem with something, well, then they start to justify it. Rather than repent and head toward a direction of restoration, they just start justifying it. Well, that wasn't really my fault. That was somebody else's doing. Or that's not really me. Or after a while, it's, well, who cares? Because I just can't seem to change this area, this recurring problem. So there's no need for me to even try. Friend, I want to remind you again that just because that you've been knocked down doesn't mean that you are a hopeless failure. Doesn't mean that you're in a place where you can never get up again. That's what oppression tells you. That's what your enemy, the enemy of your faith, that demonic spirit, that lying tongue of Lucifer, that's what he tells you. And sometimes it's even what our own human reasoning tells us, because we begin to question ourselves. Well, if I keep falling for this same trick, if I keep giving in to this same temptation, if I keep tripping up over this same human emotion, then what's the use of even continuing on in faith? But that's why we have scriptures like Proverbs 24:16, that a just man, this is somebody who's got it all together, he falls seven times. So how many more times is somebody who's just growing in their faith, who's just beginning a discipleship journey, somebody that's been through anguishing moments of change from the realm of darkness, now living in the realities of light and the love of God that you've never felt before? So be encouraged today, my friend. Think about what Genesis 1:3 said. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't suggest it. He didn't question whether it could happen. It was a command. So it doesn't matter what the darkness is doing. If God says, let there be light, there's going to be light. If God wants to step in to your broken situation and fix it, there ain't a devil in hell that can stop that repair. When God sends his angelic construction crew to build up something that has been absolutely impossible in the soils of struggle, and God wants to bring it up, God wants to build it up, it's the Lord who will edify. It's the Lord who will strengthen those that are weak. It's the Lord that will take the feeble and turn them into mighty men and women for the kingdom of God. So the Lord is speaking and light is shining, and you need to just follow that path. That path of escape. You need to get out of the prisons of the past. You need to leave that cell of shame behind you. You need to do what old Peter did that night when the angel of the Lord showed up. He followed that angel right on out past the first ward, past the second ward. They just kept on walking until finally he got outside of the prison. He got out into the street. And when the angel got him to a place where he didn't have to guide him anymore, he just absolutely disappeared. And then it dawned on Peter that he had been delivered by an angel. I mean, the whole time he's following him out, he thinks it's just a vision. But when he gets through the iron gate that leads into the city, and when the angel knows that he's got him delivered, the angel disappears. Peter comes to himself. He said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Now, think about all those in that number. It doesn't specify how many Jews, but evidently it was a pretty great number. And then he's got governmental power. And yet all of these powers that were grouped together to try to keep Peter in this place, God revised the script. He was led in of a guard, but he was led out by an angel of God. And my friend, it doesn't matter necessarily how you got in the circumstance. If you humble yourself before the Lord, God gives favor to the humble. And if you decide in a broken place of prayer that you could trust the Lord and reach out to him, I believe that he's got an escape for you and that his light is going to shine. He's going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. He's going to give you something to hold on to, and he's going to give you a faith that's not going to abandon you. He's not going to forsake you. No, the Bible says that he promises to be with us even to the end of the world. But I don't think we've made it to the end of the world yet. And so, my friend, even though it may feel like it's the end of your world, he's going to be right there for you. Pray that prayer again. Trust in the word of God again. And when you feel that little bump of glory, that little brush of angels' wings, that little whisper of heaven, that little hint of glory stepping into your cell of darkness, and just a little bit of light begins to shine, follow that light to a place of escape and spiritual deliverance in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.